Well, for this third session, I certainly had a difficult time of what to share from my heart to your heart. There was a number of things that God had brought before me, and I thought, well, there really is an awful lot that we could put into what's in our hearts, right? I could have talked about, shared with you about an idolatrous heart. And that just means anything or anyone who takes the first place in your life is an idol. And if there is something in your life that is first in your life, that God is not first in your life, what is it? It's an idol. Okay? Psalm 31:6, David said, I hate those who cling to idols. Very strong words. The third commandment says, you shall have no other gods beside me. So choosing sin and idol worship is like drinking from a broken, dirty cistern that Jeremiah describes in his book in chapter 38, verses 1 to 7. It only leads to sickness of the soul. But choosing Christ, the fountain of living water, leads to salvation of the soul. I'm not going to dwell on if you have an idolatrous heart or things that are truly sitting on the throne of your heart where God should be sitting. But I got to be really thinking about that I wanted to share with you in this last session in particular, what's in your heart? Do you have a fearful heart? And I got to sitting before God one day, and actually over a few days of thinking about what's going on in the hearts of men and women in our hearts today, or should I say, what is the biggest thing in our world situation today, all over the world? What would you think would be the biggest thing that's in the hearts of men and women, young people, and even boys and girls today?
Pleasures
is one of them. Do you not think it's fear? Yeah, I think more than I've ever known, people's hearts are fearing. And that brings them to the point that, in a way, they're fearing so much that it has caused ill health, marriage breakups, children's behavior patterns, mental health, suicide, despair, distress, disunity among families, and even within the Christian family. Fear has got a grip of our hearts, yes, due to this pandemic that has swept the world. Would you ever have thought, like, that us, our generation, and the younger generation would ever see such a situation that we've seen or been in the last, what, 18 months? I've lost count. Anyway, that's not the point. But men, and you know what, God's word tells us that men and women's hearts are failing them because of fear. Let's take a look at Queen Esther. I had a few verses of scripture, and that wasn't in Esther that I was just going to share with you. And I'll just read them to you. They're from Isaiah chapter 35. And verses 3 and 4. And this is what Isaiah says, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. And if you're a child of God, if you've got Christ in, what are we to fear? I can often use the excuse, but we're still human. And we are. And we do have fears. But for the child of God, there should be healthy fears. Fears that are not going to drive us to despair. So let's take a look at, I have a few people that I would like to look at and leave with you this afternoon in regards to fear. Queen Esther. Queen Esther was willing to give up her life to save her people. She was not going into the king's presence to present to the king why she has come to him without being asked. This was not protocol. She had to be waited until the king would ask her to come into his presence. But Queen Esther knew that she needed to take, I believe, a step of faith. And God has also said in his word, step by step, as you go, I will go with you, says the Lord. Queen Esther counted not her life as her own. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. We sang that first hymn and I was going to give you a little quiz, but then I thought, no, I better not do this bit. Anyway, this is me. And I was going to say to you, ladies, what was it that you saw? I think it was in the first verse of the hymn that we sang at the very beginning, right? I hear you twittering and laughing and giggling and all the rest of it. That would pertain much of what we've been speaking about, particularly this morning and even last night. And it actually comes from Jesus. Anybody got any thought? Okay, I'll give you a clue. The Garden of Gethsemane. Wakey, wakey. The Garden of Gethsemane. What did Jesus say to his Father? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I trust that that's what you and I will say as we go from here. Nevertheless, not my will, Lord, but yours be done in my heart. If Jesus is spotless, sinless, pure, Son of God, can say to his Father, Lord, please let this cup pass for me. And who would blame him? But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. It's a problem with not having an earlobe. Deborah sang, oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. That love is unconditional, and it doesn't matter what you've done or how much you've sinned. His love will never change for you. It's a love I cannot comprehend. It's a divine love. It's a love that's so different from the love that you and I may have for our spouse or our children. Or our grandchildren, and I have a deep, deep love for my grandchildren. But his love went so much further than that. So no matter what you do, He still loves you, and he's seeking after you, and he's wooing you to come to him. Anyway, Queen Esther, she was willing to sacrifice her life for others. She was very bold. And she went in saying, "If I perish, I perish." And I'm sure she was thinking at that time, well, even if I go into the king's presence and ask him for this request, and he doesn't grant it, I'm going to perish anyway, because all the Jews were going to be annihilated. But she still was bold enough to sacrifice her life for others. So the first thing that she did is this. Can I just backtrack? I asked the question to myself as I ask it to you. What am I willing to sacrifice for the Lord? I'll leave that with you. I can't answer that for you. But Queen Esther, she did not just rush into the king's presence. She took time to prepare before going into his presence. And what I'm willing to let go to spend time with him, I believe that it will be a true meaning of sacrifice. Esther's step of faith resulted in divine intervention and the saving of the Jewish nation. Someone has said fearfulness minus panic can be healthy. Let me explain. There is a healthy fear. Do you know that? Do you believe that? There's a reverent fear for God. That's when we stand in awe of him. That's when it says in the Bible time and time again, fear the Lord. It's not an image of someone up there with a great big stick, and if you do something wrong, he's ready to hit you with it. Oh, I shouldn't talk that way because we're not allowed to do these things. But, you know, sometimes that's the mentality we have. If we do something wrong, God is ready to, well, spank us, beat us up. Somebody else says something there?
Clamp down.
Sorry?
Clamp down.
Clamp down? Yeah. But anyway, that's not the kind of fear that God instills within us. I think fear for a loved one whose lifestyle is taking them down a wrong path that will lead to a Christless eternity is a healthy fear. What I mean by that is, and I'm going to give you an example of that, if something weighs heavy upon your heart, and I'll tell you that there was one day I was driving in my car, I was on my own, I had spent time with three of my seven grandchildren, three of them who are not growing up in a Christian home. And I was driving home one day and we had had a good time together. And I was thinking of the future without Christ. And there was such an awful fear came upon me, to the point that still driving, I was misty-eyed. Now, it wasn't to the point that I couldn't see where I was going. But I prayed. And this is how I prayed. And it was a desperate plea to God. And I put energy into this prayer. And I said, "Lord, please, please don't let them be lost." And I kept going on, "Please, please, please, Lord, don't let them be lost." That for me was a real fear for their eternal destination. There can be fear of the unknown. Psalm 37 verse 5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him." Verse 7, "Rest in him and wait patiently for him. Esther was in no hurry to go into the king's presence. There was preparation to be made. Protocol needed to be followed. She took her time and waited for the right time. After all, her life and the life of a nation depended on it. Fear that causes undue panic, high-level stress, sleepless nights are not a healthy fear. Really, what we are saying to God is this: I can't, I don't, and I won't at times trust you with this. How dare we not trust a God who has a deep, deep love for us, and also that he is also aware of our fears, what we're going through. He is a God that never fails. He is a God who is always good on his promises, and there are multitudes of promises regarding fear in the Word of God. He is a God who never lies. He is a God who has given everything for us. He gave us his one and only Son. Such love. And he gave it so that our sins could be forgiven. We could be saved from eternal damnation. So Queen Esther was fearless, perhaps nervous. I came to this weekend, and I can't say that I came in fear, but I certainly came with nerves. God was with Queen Esther, and he saw to it that the king accepted her into his throne room, and she presented her request to him. She was, I believe, a woman of faith. And I know we don't see the word God in the book of Esther, but we can see in trailed right through it. I can't get the word. Somebody else maybe can get intertwined right through the book of Esther that God was definitely in it and in her situation. And I believe she had a faith in God that he would work it all out for good. And he did. You know the story. I don't need to tell you any more about it. David, being a man after God's own heart, it's evident from reading the Psalms he was confronted by fear. This is a man who is said of that he was a man after God's own heart. But David had fears. They were real fears. There were fears that drew him to despair, and fears that he came before God and he confessed his fears to God. But true to his promise, God never left David out any time. Psalm 27, verse 9, it says, David cried out to the Lord, asking him to never leave him or forsake him during a time of great fear. And God never did. Paul faced fears at times. You know, the great apostle Paul. Acts 23, verse 11. In the face of fear, faith in God's presence gave men courage to continue in God's will. And that was the apostle Paul. I came across this quote by William Gurnall, and he said this: the chains of love are stronger than the chains of fear. You got that? The chains of love, God's love, are stronger than the chains of fear. God's word testifies to that when, in the words of an old hymn, I can say to you that said this: peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin, the voice of Jesus whispers, peace within. God's words also tells us perfect love, that perfect love that God has for his children, casts out. What is it?
Fear.
Fear. Remember when Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water towards Jesus? And as long as he kept his eyes focused on Jesus, he was okay, right? But then when he took his eyes off Jesus, he became unfocused on the one who would save him. And he saw the wind and the waves, and the waves went, well, you know what, if I had to step out in a boat and do that too, I think, oh man, I would be down, right? I wouldn't even get out of the boat. Okay, but what happened when Peter took his eyes off Jesus because of fear of the storm? He began to sink. Isn't that just like us? If we take our eyes off Jesus because of fear and situations and troubles and trials and everything that we're in, and if we take our eyes off of Jesus, we sink. So we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, even in the face of fear. The God in your heart is not a God who instills an unhealthy fear in our hearts. He is peace. And isn't that one of the fruits of the Spirit that he asks us to have? Love, joy, peace. And he is the one who gives that peace to us. Psalm 90 verse 20b tells us that God blesses his children with peace. I would dare to say, if you're a child of God and you have no peace, then there's something wrong. God gives us this gift. It's our responsibility to receive this gift. And if we take his peace and apply it to whatever situation we find ourselves in, it will make such a difference in our hearts. Do you find the word fear in the fruits of the Spirit? Because God's nature is not fear. It's not in him. So therefore, he doesn't want it to be in his children. When he comes and he says, fear not. One of the verses that I got from scripture when I was leaving my foster home and going into Bible college. Now, believe it or not, I really was a very shy person. And I always say, the faith mission are responsible for me not being so shy as what I was. All right. But anyway, when I was thinking about going to the Faith Mission Bible College, and I felt that God was actually calling me into faith mission work, right? There was this undescribable fear that just swept over me. And I said, I can't go. I'm shy, I'm not educated, I'm not this, I'm not that. I actually said to the Lord, Lord, take my best friend, Anna. She has the talent, she has the go, the umption. She's that person you should be calling. And I remember it was such a cloud over me. But I went up to my bedroom, I got down by my bed, and I knelt by my bed, and I said, Lord, you're going to have to do something here. I am so afraid. And I wasn't even up off my knees when my foster mother knocked. Well, she didn't knock on my door. She just opened the door and she came in, and all she said was, here's a letter for you. A letter for me? Nobody writes to me. Nobody sends me a letter. And maybe I thought it was something from something like income tax or something. Something like that, right? Anyway, I got this letter. She went and I opened it up. And it was actually from a young guy that was in our church youth fellowship. And I thought to myself, what on earth is Jim writing to me for? He only lives down the road. So I have no idea, only God knows, and I can see that God was in it all right. So I opened up the letter, and knowing it was from Jim, I proceeded to read it. And the gist of the letter was this. Ismael, God has placed this verse on my heart to give to you. And I said, okay. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand. And I thought to myself, that quick, Lord? Before you call, I will answer. I took God at his word, and here I am today. Well, I'm retired from the faith mission now. Keep forgetting about that. Anyway, the peace of God flooded my soul. The fear went, and his peace came in. And why shouldn't it? Because Isaiah tells us that he is the Prince of Peace. Jesus himself said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives it. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know your Bible scripture, ladies. That's wonderful. So, some time ago, I was sitting again. That's what COVID did to me. I could sit and not feel guilty about it. But I could sit and spend it with Jesus. And I felt the Lord speaking these words to me. Particularly when I told you about what it was. I've had this fear about my son, my daughter-in-law, and my three grandchildren. But the words that came to my heart was this. Pray about everything and fear nothing. Can you do that, ladies? Could you pray about everything and fear nothing? Over the next couple of weeks, he showed me the difference about prayer versus fear. Many of them dealt with little areas in my life which fear would creep into and cause me problems. He showed me that in every case, no matter how great or important or how small or insignificant, the solution or answer was to pray. And that got me thinking about a song. That's what happens with me, right? I see Janet nodding her head. She knows. Happens with her too. A song just immediately comes into your mind, or I like to say into your heart. And this was one written by, and I don't think any of the younger generation would remember who this guy is. It was Len McGee. He wrote a song, and it would have been classed one of the more modern day songs, right? It wouldn't be classed as the traditional hymns that we sing. And the lyrics were very, very simple, but this is what he wrote and sang. Oh no, he never would say, I'm too busy today. Every care, every tear, he has promised he will hear. And although he's the Lord of all glory, he's only a prayer away. Isn't that wonderful? All we have to do is utter a prayer to him. That's our telephone line between us And God, actually, again, here I am. That just lets you know what era I was born into. There's not too many people use landlines anymore, do they? So he's not a telephone line away, he's a cell phone line away, or maybe a satellite line away, whatever it is. I didn't even think about that, okay? But that's all. He's only a prayer away. And the wonderful thing about it is that we've got such a friend in Jesus that we can take everything to him in prayer. It doesn't matter how it comes out of our mouths, you know, sometimes it's all mumble jumble and it doesn't have any organization to it. That doesn't matter to God. Anyway, God's word tells us that Jesus is interceding on our behalf and so is the Holy Spirit. So I just sit there and think, well, if it's not coming out the right way, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are going to give it to the Father in the way that it should have come out. And it still will have the same meaning from my heart. And that is a wonderful thing to think about. The more we try to work out and solve our fears, the bigger and stronger they become. And it gets to the point that fear takes over. Another example from my life. As I said, I've been a Christian for nearly 50 years. And it really did bother me that when a pastor would get up and he would speak and he would say, and I'm not trying to just down this at all. And I believe it came from his heart, but this is how it was with me. When a pastor would say, oh, I'm so excited. Jesus is coming soon. And we're all going to be taken with him. And I'm sitting there. And I'm just being open and honest with you, ladies. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, yeah, I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. That wasn't an issue whatsoever. But I wasn't as excited as the pastor was sharing with us about, you know, he's let Jesus come soon. And I sat there and I said, something wrong with me. I'm not as excited as what this pastor is about going to meet with Jesus soon. And you know the reason why? I knew where I was going to go when I died, but I was afraid of the actual process of dying. I wasn't the fear of where I was going. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt I was going to be with Jesus. I would like it very much if he would come and rapture me. I'd love to know what it's like to fly through the air. but anyway, that was a terrible fear, and I brought it before God. And I says, Lord, I'm not just as excited about, you know, dying and that sort of thing. And God, in his love, his mercy, his compassion, and I believe his understanding heart of what I was fearing, he said to me, now not audibly, but he spoke into my heart and he said to me, Isabel, how many surgeries have you gone through? Well, I said, Lord, you know that. There was one of the surgeons who said to me, and even the new doctor that we have in Fergus, she says, what's in there? What have you still got in there that is needing to come out? She says, you don't have too much. But it was like a visual image that God was able to get my fear of what the process of dying would be. And it came like this. So Isabel, you've had whatever surgeries, right? You were taken down to the operating theater, and this guy put a mask over your face, and he told you to count to, I think it was 10 backwards. And so you started counting 10, 9, 8, zonk. I was gone. Right? I had no clue whatsoever what was going to be happening to me, what they were going to do, what they were taking out, blah, 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 blah. I was completely out of it. And the next thing it was, I woke up in the recovery room. So, what happened in between that period of me counting back from 10 to 8, and then it was completely gone, and I woke up in the recovery room? I have no idea. All I know is they took bits and pieces out of me and sewed me up, and that was it. And do you know, that's what God said to me. You trusted those people who were operating on you. You didn't know how it was all going to go, and you didn't know what happened from A to B until you woke up in the recovery room. And that's like what it's going to be for you. You're going to die out. It's like as if you're just falling asleep, like I was on that operating table, and you're going to wake up in my presence. And that was it for me. The fear of the process of dying is gone. Yes. Amen. And I thank God for that. So why do we need to fear? God has us in the palm of his hands. And he will not allow anything to happen to us that is not his plan and purpose, or even his will for our lives. And if we go through the storms and the difficulties and the situations that we face every day, even where COVID is concerned, or the variants of COVID, he's in control. He has you in the palm of his hands. So, Jochebed is another person I looked at. The mother of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Exodus 2:3, Hebrews 11:23. Have you ever studied Moses' mother? No, I hadn't until I was preparing for this ladies' retreat. What a mother! What was in Jochebed's heart? Well, I believe there was courage, there was creativity, there was boldness. She was unafraid. She had faith. She had great faith. Someone has said mothering isn't for cowards. Nor is being a parent, a grandparent, a guardian, a me too person, a teacher, or coach. The world is lined up against our children. Satan is making a bid, pulling out all the stops to mess up their lives, confuse their morals, endanger their spirituality, hurt their hearts, and damn their souls. I remember when I was typing this out and I came to the word damn. There was a word came up, the computer thing came up, and they said to me, that word will be an offence to your audience. And I thought to myself, no, well, maybe to some it will be, but the Bible talks about eternal damnation. But if Satan cannot pull you away from God, he certainly will try to attack the weakest link in your family unit, and that will be your children. He'll try to discourage them. He'll try to, and unfortunately he has. He will Try to get them to question you about your God, whom you have faith and trust in. But you know what? If you have a mother's heart, you are protective of your child, your children and grandchildren. And Jochebed was the type of mother, she outsmarted Satan. You remember that King Herod wanted all the children to be killed, right? But Jochebed must have seen something in her baby boy, and she must have heard God speaking to her, and she wasn't going to allow her child to be taken away and killed. She was a woman of faith and fearlessness. She had strong faith in her Lord. She was fearless in her efforts to save her baby. And Hebrews 11:23 told us she was not afraid of the king's command. She had no fear of the highest person in the land and what he was going to do. Her faith was in God. She was a woman of action. No hesitation. She knew that at any moment the knock would come to her door, and maybe not even a knock on her door. Maybe these soldiers would have just rammed in and snatched her baby from her. But she put her baby in a little basket that she so lovingly created and was done for protection. It was waterproof from the waters of the River Nile. But then I got to think about, because the Bible doesn't tell us, what about the crocodiles? The River Nile is absolutely full of crocodiles. And I thought, could I? Could I trust God to protect my child in a crocodile-infested river? Well, I learned from Jochebed, if she could do it, why couldn't I? Because my trust would be in the same God that she trusted in, and she trusted him to protect her child. But even the crocodiles were no match for the faith of Jochebed. God, through the watchful eye of Miriam, worked it all out. And we know the story of Moses. She certainly was a woman whose trust was in the Lord. So easy for us, isn't it, to say, in God we trust. You know, I don't know what kind of TV shows you watch, but I like Sue Thomas, FBI. Yes. Right? I'm kind of on that wavelength of shows that I watch, apart from most of the time, it's the Blue Jays or it's the Maple Leafs. It might be the tennis. But when you go into the FBI headquarters, a great big circle, right, that Sue Thomas comes in and she stands in. And what does it say in that big circle? In God we trust. And you know what? Sometimes I think, oh, do they really? You know, today, do they really? In God we trust. I rather doubt it. But anyway, who am I to judge? But trust God with your child, whether they're young or whether they're older, and with your children. Psalm 37:1 says, fret not, trust in, delight yourself in, commit it to the Lord, then rest in the fact that God, what God has promised he will do. You will experience a stillness of God and a peace in your heart as you wait patiently for him to fill his promises. God's peace can and will overwhelm you. Then look forward to the day when your child or children, perhaps a spouse, no matter how firm a grip Satan has on them, if God has promised you their salvation, the salvation of your grandchildren, the salvation of your son and your daughter-in-law, like my son and daughter-in-law. I know of others who have sons and daughter-in-laws who as yet are not born again Christians. And you may be in a situation like that. Like you may be even in a situation that is far worse than that with your children and your grandchildren, and your heart is broken, and you've melted in tears, pouring out your heart to God for the waywardness, the rebellion, the sinfulness. Put energy into your prayers, ladies, and see what God can do. Just don't say, God bless. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with just God bless. But I feel in this day and the age that we're living in, we need to put more energy into our prayers. Our children depend upon it. Our nation depends upon it. Where are we heading? Have you ever sat down and wondered, where are we heading? Fear could be instilled in us because of the direction our government has taken us as Christians, as the Church of Jesus Christ. We need to put energy into our praying and just not say, God bless. I'm very passionate about that, as you can guess. So, no matter how firm a grip Satan has them, if God has promised you that your children, and you've placed them into his hands, that your children, your grandchildren, will one day come to him, wait patiently on him. Fret not. Do not fear. Because what God has promised he will do, he will bring it to pass. We may have to wait. John and I have been praying for people for years, and family members outside the fold of Christ for years, and they're still not in the family and fold of Christ. But does that stop us from praying for them? No. Never give up praying for a wayward child, a child who has turned his back upon his parents and has gone into a rebellious state and probably even has said, I don't want anything to do with your God. Keep on believing. Amen. This is the way. Faith in the night as well as in the day. Okay, that's Jochebed. One more. David's mother. Did you know David had a mother? Of course you knew David had a mother. It's obvious that David had a mother, okay? But do you know anything about David's mother? No? Okay, neither did I. Until a wee while ago. She is nameless, and she's not often mentioned. But David said in Psalm 27, verse 10, and this is a verse that is so close to my heart, and I use it in my testimony. David says this, when my mother and father forsake me. David is not saying that his mother and father have forsaken him, but it can be translated, if my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will look after me. And did David's mother abandon him, forsake him? Not as far as we know. David is just saying, a mother can, and unfortunately, mothers do. And the Bible tells us, and I'm sorry, I really didn't look up the reference for this because I just remembered it from memory. Can a woman forget the son of her womb? Can a son forget the mother who bore him? Yes, they can. But God says, I can't forget. One thing we do know about David's mother is this, is that she knew the Lord. Psalm 86, verse 16 in the NIV says, show your strength on behalf of your servant. Save me
This is David saying this. Because I serve you just as my mother did. She served the Lord, and in this act of serving the Lord, there are three things I've jotted down. She influenced David to become a servant of the Lord. She taught David the ways of the Lord. And she prepared him under God to become the man of whom God's word says he was a man after God's own heart. A godly mother will have a godly influence on her children. And she starts a ripple effect that will continue to her children's children and so on. David, in return, respected and cared for his mother, because we're told that in 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 to 4. He cared for his mother along with his father. And it says this: David sought a place of refuge for them when he was fleeing from Saul. That kind of spoke to me that David was afraid that King Saul, if he couldn't get to David, he would go after his mother and father. Now, that's just my imagination, and it can run wild at times. But David asked the king of Moab if he would look after them. So David had a respect, he had a caring and compassionate, loving heart for his mother and for his father. Our children, our grandchildren are always watching us from the moment they open their eyes at birth to the last day we close them in death. It's never too late to pray, to influence, and to set an example. Let's stop fearing, and though it is a healthy fear, but not to the point that Satan can take it and use it to the point that we go into a despairing mode. If we've placed them in the Father's hands, I believe he will honor the prayers, the energetic prayers we put to him for our children, for our grandchildren, and even go as far as our nation. I believe that today our children need to know what it is to stand on Christ, the solid rock, who is a firm foundation. And I believe it is also my responsibility, our responsibility, to steer them in that direction. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Jesus is their only lifeline. Jill Churchill said this: there's no way to be the perfect mother, but a million ways to be a good one. And certainly I wasn't a perfect mother. So what we need to do is, if you feel that a spirit of ungodly way comes from Satan, we need to rebuke him. He is a disturber of peace. But in Jesus, we found our own inheritance of peace. Are we guilty of allowing Satan rob us of that gift of peace that God gives to us through his Holy Spirit, which he gives to us in obedience to his word? This peace we can experience no matter what we face in this life. And it's that peace which is given to those who are in him. Once again, I'm going to say this: if you do not have Christ in, you will never experience that peace. You may experience a peace that the world can give, but it's not a peace like Jesus gives. I wonder, have you experienced his peace in times of fear and trouble? I'll get to the end of this now. One thing I would ask of you ladies, Proverbs 4:23, and I saw the verse up here, and I did not know that that was the verse that was going to be used this weekend. It says this: Above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. So whatever's in the heart is going to flow out. And I trust that it will be Christ-likeness, that we will know what it is to display the nature of Christ, the characteristics of Christ, in the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, so on and so forth, and much more. So please, ladies, guard your heart. For Satan will come, and make no doubt of it, he will come and he will try to get your heart for himself. So therefore, guard it. Guard it against the enemy. And let the Holy Spirit control it. When we do, he begins to do only what he can do to grow. He grows us and he shapes us into Jesus' likeness. There's two just little songs that are little choruses that I would like to leave with you. And one of them is in our Faith Mission Songs of Victory. And when I sing this little chorus, I am really broken before God. And it says this, just remember this, Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. The precious Son of God wanted his Father to be on the throne of his heart at all times, and his desire was to please the Father and do his will. So this chorus says, reign in me, sovereign Lord, reign in me. Captivate my heart, let your kingdom come, establish there your throne, let your will be done. Reign in me, sovereign Lord, reign in me. And the only way that that can happen is you do make that choice and give him first place in your heart. But you know what you need to do? You need to turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. There's another part. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Let nobody else or anything take his place, so that hour by hour you may know his power, till at last you have run the great race. And then it's instant presence in the Lord, with the Lord. If you want to become a woman of strength, a woman strong in the Lord, you cannot do it in your own strength. You need his strength, his power, his might. What puny strength do we have? We're only but weak vessels, but given over to God, he can make us strong. He can make us mighty. So please, ladies, in closing, I'm just going to pray this little chorus. It's really a full song, but it's the chorus of the song. And April was so kind to put it in the back of your little books there. And I just pray with all my heart that maybe you would make it a daily prayer to the God who deeply, deeply loves you. And he wants to draw you closer to him. But remember what I said, God pursues, you do the choosing. And it's up to you whether you want to draw closer to him. And it's this, and I'm just going to pray it. And if you want to open up your little booklets, and if you want to pray it along with me, please do. But just remember this, if you don't mean it, don't pray it, because you're lying to God. And it says this as a closing prayer. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. May these words be so, to the glory of God the Father.